Welcome back to Money Talk with MoneyWeb. So did you make financial resolutions this January? And more importantly, did you stick to all of them? If not, don't sweat it. 2017 could be the year in which you reach your savings and investments goals, or even get out of debt. Joining us on the line with tips and tricks to do just that is Natasha Hart, a financial planner at GCI Wealth. Natasha, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, Natasha, before we head into the new year, we've got to get through the holidays. And for many people, the holidays can be one giant spending trap. So how do we get through these holidays with our finances still intact?
I think the one thing to bear in mind is that what happens this time of the year, and I think this year especially, it's been quite a long, hard year. And I think a lot of people are very tired. And the big risk is to say, oh, I'm tired and it's now holidays and I'm going to worry about my finances in the new year. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes one can make, because that means the problem is just so much bigger when you come back in the new year. So one of the first things is to sit down and look at what you are doing in December. If you are going away, if you haven't paid for all your holiday expenses, you know, the accommodation, those things yet, make sure that you've got the funds available to pay for it. And for those people who haven't made plans, if you are going to do something on the spur of the moment because you now feel that you need a break, make sure that you're not paying premium and find out if there's maybe cancellations where you can get a bargain, although a bargain at this time of the year is few and far between.
Few and far between. And what we also see at this time of the year is some people actually, those fortunate enough to get annual bonuses, blow their bonuses on spur of the moment purchases at this time as well.
That is a big concern. And what I always advise my clients to do is to look at that bonus and make sure that you look at it as part of your budget. Allocate some of the money for January, because we all know salaries are paid early in December and it can be a very long time until payday in January. And then the other big thing that people don't always bear in mind is that there are annual increases that kick in January. Mm-hmm. And these can catch you off guard, because those premiums go off in the first week of January. So make sure that you understand the increases on, for example, your medical aid, your insurance premiums, and that you've got funds available. Now, for the really prudent person out there, what I advise my clients to do is to take a portion of their bonus and add that to their retirement savings. Mm-hmm. Because that way you are not just living for the moment, you're also adding to your future financial well-being, but you're also getting a tax benefit by allocating some of your bonus money to retirement funding.
And that's if you max out your retirement annuity account. I think that's a 27%.
27.5% of your annual income, limited to a maximum of 350,000 rand a year that you can contribute.
So what kind of benefit does that add in the long run?
Well, first of all, you get an immediate benefit, because normally when the company calculates your contribution to retirement funding, they exclude the annual bonus. So you're paying, you know, full tax on the annual bonus. And by adding a portion of your bonus either to your company fund or to a personal retirement annuity, you're getting immediate tax benefit, because it reduces the tax payable on that bonus. And then in the long term, by adding extra funds to your retirement funding that you didn't plan on, it just gives, there's more money that can work towards your retirement, which gives you more options later on.
You also talked about the importance of understanding what fee increases, especially subscription-based fee increases, kick in into the new year. And this is not just understanding percentages, but actual rands and cents, isn't it?
Yes, so the big risk is you get a notification from your medical aid saying your premium is going up by 9%, or some of them are double digits next year. And you see that, but, you know, some of the higher benefits, the monthly contribution is quite significant. So a 10% increase can be, you know, a couple of hundred rands a month. Now, if that's not something you planned for, you need to make sure that the money is available in the account when the debit order goes off, but also for you to understand that that's now a premium that you need to pay. Another thing to consider is if there is financial constraints, you have to make changes to your medical aid benefit that you choose before the end of the year if you want to go to a lower plan or something like that. So it's very important that you are aware of these things and that you don't wait until the new year and try and fix it then. And also with insurance premiums, it's very important that you sit down and review what is covered and that some assets that might be have lost value over the time are then covered at a lower value. So that could also reduce the premium that you have to pay in the new year.
What kind of assets are these that would be covered at a lower value?
Well, vehicles reduce value, so a lot of insurance houses don't reduce the cover unless you manually ask them to do that. And, you know, example, technology. You might have computers that have reduced in value that you've covered specifically, and you might want to not cover them anymore or cover them at a lower value.
And how would somebody who wants to cover them at a lower value go about approaching the insurers to do so?
Well, it's, you know, most of the big insurers have got very efficient call centres, and that you, it's all about you just phoning them and saying to them you want to review your what is covered and the values, and they, most of them will do it over the telephone, give you a quote, give you an indication what the impact would be, and then send you any forms that needs to be signed if need be to make those changes.
Mm-hmm. And Natasha, with the new year fast approaching, what other considerations should we take into account when drawing up a financial plan?
So there's one that's quite near and dear to me in the sense that I think what happens a lot of at this time of the year is where people try and make up for working hard and not spending time with family and buying presents that they can't necessarily afford and gifts. And what I find works very well is for the family to sit down and have a conversation about where they find themselves and that it has been a tough year, and to make some compromises and sacrifices as a family. So maybe saying, well, if we go away this year, we're not going to buy gifts, or mm-hmm. instead of us buying gifts, we're going to make homemade cards for the family. And then another one is where family are spending time together to say, listen, let's all chip in. We're going to spend time together, and you're going to bring this food and I'm going to take care of that, instead of just one person or one part of the family carrying the burden. And that makes it more enjoyable for everyone in the long run. Going into the new year, something that I find catches people off guard is the education expenses. So people who have children going to school for the first time, or people where the children are finishing school and now they're going into university or tertiary education, make sure that you understand the expenses that entails.
Mm-hmm.
And there it's beyond just the tuition fees, but it could be sports fees, extra murals, books and stationery, and also get an understanding. Most schools will provide you with a calendar for the year so that you can see when they plan to have outings or trips that might require additional funding.
Mm-hmm. And would you advise paying school fees and other subscription-based services upfront with a view of getting a discount?
If you have the funds available, it's always advisable because it relieves the monthly cash flow pressures. And most institutions, schools and companies will give you a discount for the upfront fee that you pay. So there is a benefit on both sides.
Natasha, another issue that I find is that many people seem to draw up a budget with the best of intentions, but only to find that sticking to this budget can be a bit tricky. Can you share some tips to budget more effectively with us?
So I think a budget is a vital item in every person's personal financial planning, but it can become a very negative experience, because if you draw up the budget and you don't monitor what you thought you'd spend and what you're actually spending, there's a disconnect, and then you feel that, why is the budget not working? But more importantly, what I find often is when you do a budget, you've got all these monthly expenses that go out. So you're working very hard for your income, and then the salary gets paid, and then within the first few days of the month, all these debit orders go out. Now, if you start your budget writing these things down, it might be a negative emotion, thinking I work so hard and all this money goes to everyone else and I have nothing for myself. So what I encourage my clients to do is to use the first line item in the budget to pay themselves. And what I mean there is, if you like to buy your coffee every day at the garage on the way to work, put that as the budget line item for yourself. So you are seeing that you're rewarding yourself, or there is some benefit to you as well, and not just paying for everyone else in the family. And another way to do it is, if you don't have those monthly indulgences that you want to reward yourself, is if you want to save for something for yourself, put that as a line item in your budget, where you then allocate a random amount into a savings account, so that you can measure that you're saving towards that goal for yourself and it doesn't negatively impact your budget.
Mm-hmm. Now, along with drawing up budgets, we also have lots of people who go into the new year wanting to get out of debt. Can you tell us which type of debt is it advisable to pay off first?
Well, the general rule is, the shorter term debt is more expensive, and your most expensive debt is obviously credit card debt. And we find that in January people tend to have a lot more credit card debt than they had at the beginning of December. So that would be the first area to focus on, and that should be included in your budget, to say, I'm going to allocate X rand to my debt repayment and get my credit cards reduced. Also, if you have more than one credit card, is to understand, why do you have more than one credit card, and maybe try and get to the point where you can pay off one credit card, then close that account, cut up that credit card, and only have one. Because a credit card's not a bad thing, it's how you manage it that makes the difference over time. And then you go into the other debts, which are the other debts to be aware of, is obviously clothing accounts and store cards, where you get interest-free accounts for a couple of months, but it's also very easy to run into trouble where you're buying stuff on credit.
And what about for those who want to save and invest in the new year? How can they maximize that extra money that they may have?
It all depends on the term of the savings. So if it's shorter-term savings, you would look at something like a money market account, where you're not exposed to market movements, but you're getting a good interest rate, and you can then save for a short-term goal. If you're looking at a more longer-term saving plan and investment plan, that is where you would then look at unit trusts, or even the tax-free savings accounts that are now available with certain benefits.
And Natasha, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for sharing such useful tips and tricks, and I'm sure they'll help us all start off the new year on the right foot. That was Natasha Hart, financial planner at GCI Wealth.